shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard today over radio station WWCR, shortwave, on both frequencies 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz. That's transmitters 3 and 4. And also on radio station WBCQ, shortwave, at 7.490 megahertz. Both of those radio stations have a stream on the internet, and you can also go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and go to the radio page, and you'll see links for those stations and also a live link on our station. If you would like to participate in tonight's program, you can call the toll-free number 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. That's 877-924-7722. For our foreign listeners and also for those who would just like to call direct, you can call 678-949-5091. Many knowledgeable men with various callings in the ministry have passed away recently, or their health is such that they are no longer able to share the legacy they would like to leave with our people. Tonight we will be presenting a personal, doctrinal, and other spiritual truths learned through the years by a man who has spent many years in the ministry with a wide variety of experiences. It's important that these truths be passed on to the next generation, and we thank God that he is still healthy. I'd like to welcome back to the broadcast Pastor Everett Ramsey.
How are you? It's good to be here tonight, and looking forward to sharing some of the history that I've lived.
Well, that's great. We're happy to have you on the broadcast. I know that truths not taught are lost. Many of the truths taught a century ago by all churches have been lost to a great extent because they're no longer taught because they're considered to be politically incorrect.
Yeah, that's a major problem in America today, is that the truths of Christianity and that our forefathers used when they first landed on these shores is no longer allowed to be taught. Certainly not taught in the public schools and anymore. And most of the churches don't teach them, and the families and the homes don't teach them. So there's no really opportunity for this generation to learn the truth. And they don't listen to the proper radio programs. I'd be interested to know how many young people listen to your broadcast. But I know in other broadcasts we have a lot of older people who listen, a lot of people who know the truth listen, but getting new people to listen is very difficult. Of course, I think my personal legacy was made in the 1980s when our church started a Christian school that was not run or controlled by the state of Nebraska. Most people know that story, and if they don't, my elders and I went to jail over that issue, and if they don't know or don't remember the history, they can contact us and get I'll send them a free book on it, and they can read up on it. But it was during that episode of life that I not only came to understand more about the loss of our truth and freedom in America, I learned the knowledge about who we are, who God is, and that we are the regathered Israelites and not the people in the Middle East. That's been over 30 years ago, and I've been teaching those truths for many years, and it's not very well accepted. Our nation had already drifted too far from God and the Bible to make recovery. So we're not going to make recovery unless we have intervention from God. That's my personal opinion, based on the scriptures as I read them. So it's been a long, slow slide into total denial of the God of the Bible. The churches that teach about God and Jesus Christ today, I'm not sure which Christ and which God they're talking about. I don't think he's the one that Paul talked about. They don't lay down the requirements that God had for people who called themselves Christians. Our nation was first established by Israelite Christians to be a godly republic. That began to be destroyed immediately through the non-godly constitution, the Civil War, the adoption of the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 17th Amendments, and then further destroyed the Christian culture by imposing government-run public education. Then we were further destroyed by the immigration policies of Roosevelt and Kennedy and others, who reversed the immigration of Christian Anglo-Saxons and expanded the immigration of anti-Christian other races who worshipped Islam, Buddha, and other gods. And it's been a disaster. As far as my own personal legacy when I leave this world, how do I want people to remember about me? Well, first of all, I'd like for them to remember that I was faithful to the laws of God and remained moral. I didn't run off with another man's wife, didn't cheat or steal from anybody, didn't commit any of the seem like very predominant sins of the preachers today. A lot of them wind up in divorce and remarriage, a lot of them into adultery. So that's my first legacy I'd like to leave, is it is possible to live a moral life and stay faithful to the laws of God. And secondly, I'd like to be remembered as being truthful with full disclosure of the Word of God. I wasn't afraid to preach the whole counsel of God, even though it cost me most of my early supporters. I started out 30 years ago with over 25,000 families across America. And today I'm hard-pressed to put together 200 families. So it's cost me dearly for my stand, but I've stayed true to the Word of God.
It's always been the elect remnant, and I know that Colonel Jack Moore had a similar story of losing influence after he taught the truth of this message.
Yes. Well, I don't know any preacher that, if they taught the truth about the kingdom and who we are, I don't know any that gained a lot of followers. They usually lost followers. I'd like to be remembered that I did not compromise the Word of God to accommodate sin or attain wealth. And I remembered that my mission is not to a church, not to a denomination, but to the people of God. God deals with nations as it relates to his people. If his people are taught correctly and motivated to obey, then God takes care of them and destroys their enemies here in this life. We never lost a war up until the Korean conflict. And, of course, if you're a Korean veteran, I'm not trying to offend you. We didn't lose that. You were negotiated out. That's just like Vietnam, just like wherever else we've been. But God has already redeemed his people and given them eternal life, or they would not be called his sheep or my people. God is not in the business of turning goats into sheep, and that's what the churches today are majoring on. They're trying to turn goats into sheep, and it'll never be done. God's always had his sheep, always will have his sheep. As far as a legacy that I'd like to leave theologically, certainly, I would like to be remembered as a preacher of the gospel of the kingdom. This will not be good, well, it's received by many people, but people who understand the truth understand that the gospel is racial and covenantal. God created the Adamic race And Adam was not the progenitor of the Negro or the Oriental race or the mixed races. Adamites may sin and regenerate racial children by mixing with people they're not supposed to. But redemption and eternal life are totally in God's domain and are eternal. He chose and decided who he would redeem and give eternal life to before he created them. That was Adam, and he started with Adam and eventually Israel. So from the beginning, his whole purpose is to have a race of Adamite people that he can rule through and work through in this earth. But Adamites are the only ones who have the spirit capacity for God to rule through. In Genesis, when he created Adam, it said he breathed into him. And that word breathed into him means that he put his spirit within him. That's not true of all races upon the face of the earth. And the gospel is a proclamation, not an offer. I wish that I could get people to understand that truth a lot better. And I didn't come up with that comment. That I took that off of a Dutch preacher in the 1800s. He's the one that said the gospel is a proclamation, not an offer. Yet every church that I ever knew anything about offers the gospel to anybody who walks through the door. But the gospel is a proclamation that God has redeemed his people. And he's not opening the door to redeem people outside of his chosen. The preaching should not concentrate on getting people to heaven. That's not what a preacher's job is. God has already taken care of that. Preaching should concentrate on knowing God, his word, and obeying him and trusting him. The biggest problem with God's people is they don't obey him. And most reason they don't obey him is the preachers don't teach them the law of God. They don't teach them what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about repentance, but I don't think that most of the Christians know what to repent of because they're not taught the law.
Absolutely. I agree with you. They don't repent because they're never told what to repent of. They're just told that God loves everybody and forgives everybody. Well, if that's the case, then why do I have to repent? That's their attitude. Salvation is earthly and requires our cooperation, belief, faith, and trust, and is related to obedience to his law. In other words, he's offered to save his people from their enemies, save them from their sins, save them from all of the evil of the world. But that requires them to be in cooperation with him, and that requires the Holy Spirit to give a new birth to them so they can. Salvation is the result we get for obeying God and his laws in this life. Salvation from sin, enemies, worry, ultimate death, and untimely death, sickness, and illness. Because we do not obey God totally and unconditionally, we all reap some of these evils. That is what is happening to America.
We publish an excellent book by you called Racial Difference More Than Skin Deep. And it deals with the difference racially, as the title implies. But the main difference is spiritual. Yes. A lot of people are concentrating on the physical, but the physical is the least of the differences.
Right.
And our message is especially to the elect remnant, and we need to lift them up spiritually, where those greater things that Christ spoke of that we shall do, that we can do, because we come in such close communion and oneness with him.
Well, absolutely. I mean, his spirit lives within us. That was the whole purpose of Jesus Christ dying on the cross and resurrecting and sending the Holy Spirit back to the earth was to indwell his people. But in America, we have forsaken what our forefathers built this country on was the Word of God. And because of that, God has allowed the enemies of God and the strangers, the foreigners, to have their way with us. Deuteronomy 28 tells us all the things they will do to us. So if you want to know what's going to happen to America in the near future, go read Deuteronomy 28. Much of it's already happening. But I'm glad to say that there is hope. The hope is not in us. If I had to have hope in that God's people would turn around with the preaching of the word, I wouldn't have any hope. If I had to have hope in believing that God's people are going to do right, I wouldn't have any hope. But my hope is in God. God has a remnant, as you said. And he will remember his covenant with them. And for his own namesake and for his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he will eventually force his people to repent and return to him. And he will then destroy the wicked and establish his kingdom of righteousness. And if you want to know how that's going to happen, I tell people to read Ezekiel chapter 37, 8, 38, and 39, and also Revelation chapter 20. Those are about the most dynamic passages that talk about the end time and how it's going to culminate. The thing that I think I want most people, as we're in an election year, that I'd like for them to remember is that America does not have a political solution. The election won't matter. It's been controlled all of my lifetime. Mark Twain said something years ago. Somebody asked him why he didn't vote. He said it didn't matter. And they said, why not? He said if it mattered, they wouldn't let us do it. So maybe he knew before we did. But everybody's kind of hoping, pinning their hopes on Trump. And the truth of the matter is, I think that the Jewish writer some months ago from New Jersey was correct when he said Hillary would be the next president. I think that that's going to be the case. But even if Trump is elected, the people who run things behind the scenes are not going to let him do what he thinks he wants to do. And we've been taken over by the enemy, by our own neglect, by our own default. And we're not going to be saved by some political election. And we're not going to be saved by some judge or some legislative body. It isn't going to happen that way. It's only going to be done as it was in old Israel, and that's when they faced an enemy too large and strong. They repented and threw themselves on the mercy of God, and that, to me, is the way it's going to happen.
I agree with you. I think oftentimes we depend on politics as a nation, or even those of us in Israel Identity sometimes depend mainly on teaching the historical proof of our identity, but we need that spiritual dimension. We're one with him, and we're obeying his laws, and they bring blessings, as we're told.
Absolutely. Donald Trump can't forgive our sin, in Amos, the Bible says that we're the only people on any family of the earth that God deals with. We're the only people he gave a covenant to. We're the only people that have a spiritual tie and relationship with him. And he said because of that, he would punish us for our iniquities. So you can't just keep on living the same old lifestyle. You can't murder babies in the womb forever. And you can't have sodomite, homosexual marriages and relationships and laws forcing them onto the public. You can't have all of this violation of in the monetary system, having a usury system. You can't violate all of these laws of God and expect a politician to come along and straighten it out, or the court, or anyone else. God's people have to come to a place of repentance, and they have to come to a place of obedience before there can be any kind of redemption of the nation and life on this earth.
I know that there's also, besides the truth of the Bible, the strict historical proof and so on, there's just a simple matter of the attitude, the way people conduct themselves. I know that most people in the Israel Identity message that have left have not left because they disagree doctrinally, but they've left because of the people they meet. Scripture tells us that we're living epistles known and read by all men, and that we need to conduct ourselves that way. And one of the things that when I met Pastor Bertrand Compre that impressed me by him was not only his knowledge, but the fact that he was a genuine Christian gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and one of the problems among our people is we tend to crucify each other over what I call non-essential argumentative pet doctrines that are not key to a lot of things. I guess one that I think of, and of course I'll probably hit somebody and make them upset, but I know that there is a small segment that they believed in the sacred name thing, that we can't say Lord and we can't say God and we can't say Jesus. You got to say Yahweh and Yeshua. Well, if everybody that calls himself a Christian, even in those in the churches tomorrow, started using Yeshua and Yahweh, my question is, what is that going to change? It's not going to make God love us anymore. It's not going to make us a better country. It's not going to cause the people to elect better people. It's not going to cause us to have revival, because you got to deal with the sin question. And whether you say Yeshua or Yahweh has nothing to do with the sins of the people. That's my take on it.
Well, I agree with you.
You divide the people.
Where it says that ye shall know my name, actually, if you look at the root meaning of that word, it's to know his character.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
I believe in using the sacred name. I use it.
Yes.
But I knew him before I knew the sacred name. And there's a lot of people out there who do know him on a personal basis before they ever learn many truths, not just the name.
Well, I think the thing that I dislike about the people who push it is they use it as if there's some kind of a magical formula. If you just use this name, everything's going to be okay. And that's not true. You can't just say abracadabra Yahweh and expect all the sin to be washed away and everything done. That doesn't solve that problem. And so I use it. There is a place to use the name Yahweh. I'd be dishonest if I didn't say so. And I do use it occasionally. If you're talking to someone who says, well, Allah is God, you could say, well, Allah is not our God. Yahweh is our God. Obviously, that may be a good place to use it. But I've always used, before I used the word Yahweh, I used the God of the Bible. Islamic God and the Buddha God and the Shinto God is not the God of the Bible. So we worship the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that's who we worship, whether you call him Yahweh or not.
I think the church world worships the God of the Bible. Theirs is more of a hippie type love Jesus that they worship.
I would agree with you that they, as Paul says, they preach and worship a different God, a different Christ, a different. They certainly don't describe the God of the Bible that I know. And the biggest problem with all of that is that it creates division. And I think Paul was trying to deal with this. And another one is the food laws. I believe the food laws are real. I believe they're in vogue. But I don't believe anybody's going to go to hell for eating a piece of pork or eating a shrimp. I don't eat any seafood at all. I don't like it in the first place. But when you become self-righteous about anything when it comes to the law, then you become a stumbling block and not a blessing to the people you're with.
I think part of it goes back to attitude again.
Yes.
Instead of actually trying to deal with the lamb, as they are in their state of lack of understanding, the person is sometimes just trying to impress them with their own knowledge and say, look at me, and we really need to be looking at Christ in all areas. And he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments.
Well, that's true. And people who are not gifted to be leaders and pastors who try to be sometimes get discouraged, and they try to pick out some doctrine that they think they know better than anybody else and try to use that as a sort of a lever to toss them out into the world as a leader. And that's unfortunate. Maybe we've all done that at times. I don't know. But the truth of the matter is, from the time I started preaching, I never felt threatened, and I still don't feel threatened. If somebody comes to my Bible study and they want to try to steal my sheep and go somewhere else with them, I'm not going to fight them. I mean, unless they're a wolf, unless they're a, they're not a, a godly person. But it's not worth disrupting and tearing up the fellowship of God's people over some leadership problem, and we have a lot of that. So in our legacy, I think that we need to leave a legacy that we are God-loving people, we're peaceable people, we help one another, but we do help the people of faith first, and I think that's something that the world doesn't like about us. They want us to help everybody around the world that doesn't love God before we help the people who do love God. And I think if you have something to help somebody with, it ought to go to help people of the household of faith first. That's what the Bible says.
I might add that it's not just people who have various callings in the ministry, but each person out there in our audience has their own calling and legacy to leave on. And I'd like to mention something a little bit different here, but make your wishes known to your relatives and those who are what you want done upon your death. I've had a couple friends recently that believe like we do. We published a little booklet on cremation as a Christian, which shows that it's a heathen practice, and they definitely didn't want to be cremated. But their family, in order to save money or for whatever reason, had them cremated. Actually, one of the men wanted to be buried next to his mother, and his family thought it was okay to bury his ashes in a vase next to his mother. So you need to let your will be known to the people who will deal with your affairs upon your death. Also, in your will, some people who are regular contributors, and I believe probably have put this ministry in their will. You know, I think the family takes it, or they just forgot to let it be known what they would want. I know in one instance, for sure, where the family took what the person wanted to leave to the ministry, and I know in another instance, the family challenged the man who left money to a number of ministries, including this one. Fortunately, I was able to prove what his wishes were. You know, and I could name other instances, too, of people who said they were going to leave something, and I'm sure that be the same with your ministry and others, but you need to do something before you're either disabled or pass on.
Well, wills are, a will is notoriously the weakest thing you can leave. You can leave a binding legal document known as a living trust, which is much better, and they're maybe a little more expensive to put together, but the point is people who are trustees have a legal requirement to the state to do what you want done in that, whatever you put in that document. And it contains the will within it. So I recommend to people that they consider getting a living trust, especially if they want to leave money to your ministry or any ministry that teaches the truth. Because most of the people who are family are going to try their best to get that money away from where it's supposed to go. So I think there has to be some kind of legal binding point on there. And then the people who do that, do leave the trust and leave the will, they need to communicate that by giving a portion of that trust or will to the people to who the money's to go, so that at least they have a way of maintaining some control over it after they're gone. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, I know of a man recently who, well, within the last year, he expressed the desire to turn his property over to the ministry trust and continue to live there until his death because he had no close relatives. He had some distant relatives, and he didn't really want the property to go to him. But then he was disabled and in the hospital, and he may have passed on, but he just never got to it. We're at the bottom of the hour. This would be a good time to give your contact information for people who were interested in that book you mentioned earlier or anything else just contacting you.
All right. My contact, my mailing address is either my name, Everett Ramsey, or Faith Baptist Church, and it's P.O. Box 1818, Houston, Missouri, 65483, P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Or if you want to get a hold of me by email, you can get a hold of me by, I'll give you the letters. It's FBCATP, which is an acronym for Faith Baptist Church America Today Publishers, at yahoo.com. And that's F as in Frank, B as in Baptist, C as in Church, A as America, T as in Today, and P as in Publisher at yahoo.com. Also, I have a website. It's Everett Ramsey, EverettRamsey.com. And you can contact me through the website. Probably is the easiest way to do it. So I'd be glad to hear from you. And people who do write me or contact me, I usually send them some free material.
Our contact information will be given at the end of the broadcast, but I'll give it out now. If you want to go to our website, it's kingidentity.com, KingIdentity.com. And on the home page, the bottom of the page, you'll see a place where you can get an information packet and all of our materials listed on there. Or you can write directly to Kingdom Identity Ministries, P.O. Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. And as I mentioned, among other things, we have books, videos, tapes, CDs, and so on. But we do carry Pastor Ramsey's book, Racial Difference, More Than Skin Deep, and also a book, Cremation as a Christian, which we mentioned tonight. If somebody would like to join the broadcast with us tonight, they can call 877-924-7722. 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. But you've had a lot of experiences in your life, and that's why I asked you on the broadcast, because I thought that you could give our listeners some of the things you've been through, some of the things you've seen that are right, some of the things you've seen that are wrong, and just kind of leave a legacy and an encouragement for a path that our people should live by.
Well, of course, I surrendered to preach when I was 16 years old and started working, going to college, paid my own way through college, went to day school, night school, and I wound up getting a business degree in Southern Illinois University, and then I went to Bible college and got my master's and my doctorate. And I pastored Southern Baptist churches for several years, and then Independent Baptist churches. And it was in an Independent Baptist church in Nebraska where we started a Christian school. And we started it because the parents were unhappy with what was happening in the public schools. And it was out of that experience when we found I learned a lot. I had to spend some time in the county jail. Contempt of court, and I read the Bible through three or four times, and I read, I think there was about 40-some books on the history of America, which that was the first time that I really got the truth about the history of America, how it was founded, and what it was supposed to be. And I first had anger because I was taught so stupidly in the public schools. And even in some colleges, was given what was, you know, it's not so much that they give you a lie as they don't give you the whole truth. And most people don't understand that. They say, well, it's not bad that we don't have prayer and Bible reading in the public schools. The problem is you can't talk about God at all. And if you don't talk about God at all in public schools, that consists of a major portion of your children's life. And they're going to grow up believing God is not important, that you don't think God is important, even if you take them to Sunday school and church, even if you occasionally have something to say at home. And so we started the Christian school. And we found out right away that the state is not at all concerned about education. They're just concerned about brainwashing children for the one world government and the government in which they're trying to build now in this world. and in this country. They definitely do not want a godly people. They do not want a godly nation. The only people in the world who are a hindrance to them are the white Anglo-Saxon Christian people, which are God's people. And they're doing everything in their power to get rid of God's people. That is, by racial mixing. If they can do it that way, that's one way. They'll even do it by starting wars and sending them off to war to die in the wars or foreign wars. I do not recommend, even though I've had grandchildren that have been in the military, in the Army and in the Marines, I don't recommend it because you wind up working for the United Nations. You don't really, in NATO, you don't really wind up defending the country so much as you do fighting the wars for the bankers and people around the world. So I spent that time in prison, and at the time I was in jail, Brother Dave Barley's father-in-law, I never can remember his name now. You probably can.
Sheldon Emery
sent me a couple of little booklets on the Israelite message, the kingdom message. And, of course, my first reaction was very much like any Baptist preacher, is this can't be true. This has got to be phony. And then more and more people sent me papers and books and documents. And that was the beginning of my study of the Israel message. And, of course, I was a typical evangelical Baptist premillennial person. And, you know, it doesn't fit. Those doctrines don't fit together. So that's hard on a preacher when he has to rethink all of his doctrine that he's been taught in Bible college and seminary and everything else. And so it took me about 3 solid years of real study. I mean, I studied literally dozens and dozens of books in the Bible and spent hundreds of hours studying. And eventually in 1996, I came out and declared that I did believe the Israel message and would preach it from then on, which I have. And I have found that it is not an easy, it's a message that is going to be received only by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're not going to use logic. If you think that you're going to set somebody down and go through all the facts and everything and get them to believe it and accept it, you're wrong. They're not going to. They're going to resist it. It has to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. And what I've found is that I've had much, much better results with people who come to me asking me about it rather than me going to other people and telling them about it. Now, written material may be a way. A lot of times people have gone to my website and have read and they've asked for more information and they have eventually come to the truth. But most people do not come that way. Most people have to be brought by the Holy Spirit through some means. And it's not popular with governments. It's not popular with churches. It's not popular with people. Certainly not popular with other races. So it makes you, they want to call you a white supremacist, or they want to call you some type of a terrorist or something of that nature, and it's not true at all, but that's just the way the media is run these days. That's the way the nation is run. And so if you stand up for Christ, very much like in a Roman Empire, you become an enemy of the state. Not intentionally, but that's what happens. And that's what's happened to me over the years. I've had to face that time after time. And God's been good. God has given me a lot of friends, given me a lot of support over the years. And even when my first wife died, God gave me a second wife that is even greater in many ways to help serve in this capacity. And she's been a real joy to me and a pleasant person because she loves the Lord and loves the Bible. And even though she came out of a different denomination, I told her when we got married, she didn't have to believe what I believed. She could ask any question. I'd never reprimand her. And I think today she probably believes most of what we teach and believe, and she's very faithful in it. So God is good. God will open the doors, but it has to be done by His Holy Spirit, and it can't be done by logic and education. You can't educate people into this belief that it'll never happen.
Well, Scripture says he calls us, we don't call him.
Yeah.
We have a caller from Nebraska.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'd like to ask you, Dr. Ramsey, what about starting new schools and new churches to teach the Israel message?
Well, that's a good question. It's been asked. I've had to answer that question maybe once a month for the last 15 years. And I know a lot of people who have tried. There is one way that you can do it. And the only way you can do it is to start with small groups in your home or in a place where you can have some fellowship. We've done it here for quite a while. We meet once a month, and our people come, and we have dinner. We have a carry-in dinner, and then we study the Bible for a couple of hours, and then we talk about social issues and current events of the day. But we haven't tried to form a church as such. Now, I believe that that is a church. The Lord says we're two or three gathered together, He's with us. And so we take that literally. And we have sent material to people to help them get started in Bible studies at home. But that's what our people need, is they need Bible studies probably more than they need preaching. I love preaching, and I love to preach to people. But they need to know what the Bible says. And so we spend our time almost totally on Bible study. If you want to go to my website and send me your name and address, I'll send you some material and write you a letter and give you some more information if that would be helpful.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call. There are a number of people who advocate homeschooling. Well, I advocate home churching because I've think you're going to get a lot more truth than you do in these 501c3 government churches
right. That
basically worship the government rather than our God.
And starting Christian schools, he did ask about that, and I'm sorry I didn't answer or speak to that per se, but usually if you're going to start a Christian school, it needs to be either a home school or it needs to be under the auspices of a church. So I think that's why I didn't answer it, is because I felt like starting a Israel Identity church is pretty slim these days. I think that to put up a sign and call yourself a kingdom church or a covenant church and teach the truths that we teach, I think you're going to get a lot of open opposition. There's a little town about 20 miles from here where a fellow that has bought a building. And he does meet on Saturdays. He believes the Sabbath on Saturday. And he only has, you know, 7 or 8 people. And probably none of them have children. They're older people. So I don't believe we're in the age of starting churches, to be honest with you. I think that age is gone. I think our country has degenerated to the point where we're probably not going to be able to do that very easily. In fact, we're in the process of weighing that here right now. We have about 20, 25 people involved in our group, and we've talked about it, but there really is not a driving force to start a church here. Now, I've been in the pastorate for many years, and I've started in my lifetime with Southern Baptists up in South Dakota. I started 3 churches, and Nebraska started 1 or 2, and in Missouri I've started a couple. So I know what it is like to start a church and build a church. But we're living in a different day. We're living in a day when that's not going to be easy. Yeah, if you want to build one of these modern-day hoop it up, sing it up, rock music, disco bar-type music on Sunday morning where you accept everybody and anything, and you don't ever preach against sin, and you don't ever teach the truth about scriptures, then yeah, you probably can build those kind of churches. But if you're going to build
places of entertainment.
Yeah.
We have another caller from Jackson, Mississippi. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hello.
This is Larry. Yes, this is Larry. We have a little meeting with some other friends, and we do the same thing that you're talking about, meeting at home.
Yeah, good. Well, amen. Bless you.
we get about 6 people to maybe 12 people when we have our meetings.
Yeah. Well, bless your heart. I thank you for calling in and encouraging people, and we'll be praying for you. And if you want to get more material or something, feel free to contact me. Otherwise, God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your call. As Dr. Swift used to say, tell it, tell it, tell it. Each person can tell it. If nothing else, they can direct them to another ministry or to a book or tape or something, you know.
Yeah.
We all have a responsibility to tell it on the level of our understanding and ability.
Yeah, and preachers are usually the hardest to reach because they're the most indoctrinated in the other doctrines, I understand, having come from that background. And it's kind of interesting. Locally here, we have a man and a wife in our Bible study group that they're really great people. But they had come to this truth and they went to their pastor and talked to him. And, of course, he couldn't really answer their questions, but he knew me. And he thought if they'd come and see me, that I'd be so radical that they wouldn't want to have any part with us. So he brought them over and we sat down and talked for a couple, 3 hours. And it went the other way. Basically, they eventually wound up leaving this man's church and coming to our Bible study because they understood the truth. The Holy Spirit was working in their hearts and they recognized truth. And that's what it is. That's what has to happen. The Holy Spirit has to open the door and open the heart to see the truth, because it's not something the mind is going to accept.
We just got another call from Jackson, Mississippi. I'm not sure if it's our same caller calling back or somebody else, but you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is a different caller, but I just want to say y'all are wonderful and just so happy that I have the ability to listen to you guys. Praise God. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in regards to Adam versus Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
My question goes along with, do we think Adam was created with a certain level of knowledge, like not unlike us?
Yes, I do.
And do we think Jesus was also born with a certain level of knowledge, or was he a blank slate? I'm just curious.
No, I think, obviously, when he was 12 years old, he was in the temple arguing with the doctors as
right.
education. So either he was born with extra knowledge or he accumulated it very quickly, one or the other. I believe he brought it with him. That's what I believe.
Right. I actually tend to agree. I really do. That was a good answer, though, truly.
Okay. Well, God bless you, brother.
Absolutely. Y'all too have a great night.
All right. Thank you.
You too. Thank you for calling. We've got about 7 minutes left or less than that. And would you like to kind of summarize some of the things that you would like to leave and also give us your contact information again?
Sure. Well, I think first of all is that unless you are a moral man or woman and obey the law of God to the best of your ability. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. No one is. But I think you have to have a love for the Word of God, a love to know God, a love for God's people, and a moral life. That I mean by the morals of God's law. Otherwise, whatever you speak will not be heard, and whatever you do with your life will not be heard. So I think the legacy that any of us have to leave, and I want to leave, is that he was a moral man, a man who loved God, loved the Word of God, and loved God's people, and was willing to give his life for them. And that's the first thing. The second thing is that you have to be willing to be a learner, I think. I've heard Baptist preachers, independent Baptist preachers, and others who brag from the pulpit that they have not changed their mind about anything for the last 30 years. Well, all that tells me is that number one is either they're not reading or they're not studying, even the Bible, because you can't read and study and learn and not make some changes. And I'm the kind of guy that if you write me and say, what do you believe about this, whether it be baptism or salvation or repentance, it doesn't matter, whatever, I'm going to give you my answer and say, based on the knowledge I have today, this is what I believe. And so I want to have a legacy of one who never stopped learning and never stopped studying and never stopped bringing the truth out in the scriptures, even if I had to change my position on things. Certainly, I had to change a lot of positions when I finally learned the truth about Israel and who we are and our nation was and is. And I had to change a lot of theology. And, of course, that makes me unacceptable to most churches, just as Jesus Christ was not very well accepted into most of the synagogues. And even the Apostle Paul and the disciples were not accepted into the synagogues because they believed in Christ and they believed in the beginning of the kingdom age and the filling of the Holy Spirit and a lot of things that they were not willing to accept. So you need to have a legacy of staying with the truth, even if it costs you. And I think those are the things that are important. And of course, if they want to get a hold of me, again, the best way to do that is either go to my website, which is Everett Ramsey, EverettRamsey.dd. I put the DD on only because somebody else already had EverettRamsey.com. So I put EverettRamseyDD.com. And I have on almost every page on my website, I have a place where you can fill it out, and it comes directly to my email. So you can ask me a question, you can ask me about anything, and usually I try to send everybody who contacts me at least a packet of general information about me and the ministry and some books to read and different things. Or you can write me a letter at Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Or my email, which is FBCATP, and that's an acronym for Faith Baptist Church, America Today Publishers, at yahoo.com. And I'll be glad to respond to you. If you're going to write me an email, though, make sure you put in the heading Kingdom Identity Ministries Radio or Herald Truth. Well, what's the name of your radio broadcast?
Well, Herald the Truth is the general name, but we call the first of the month broadcast Kingdom Concepts, the live broadcast.
All right, something in there that you're about the radio, so that because I'll be honest with you, I get so many email, and many of them are just news articles. A lot of them are people send me funny things I don't really have time to read, and a lot of it is junk. So I read headings. I look at what's in that headline. And if you put on their radio broadcast or something like that, then I'll be sure and open it and take a look at it. But I'd love to hear from you, and I'll be glad to help you any way I can.
Now, you mentioned a minute ago about growth. I think we've all grown from our days, well, I was raised Baptist, graduated from a Church of Christ college, but we need to give other people the same opportunity. We aren't to treat them like enemies just because they don't have the knowledge we do. I think some people get into that attitude at times, and we don't want to pull the ladder out from under us. We want to raise them up.
Right. Well, I think the only people I get a little discouraged with is a man across the street from me, a good man, but he's a Baptist preacher, and when I moved here, I told him he could use my library anytime he wanted, and he said, well, I won't be able to do that. I only read one book a year. Well, this is a guy that's not even trying to learn. He's not trying to better himself. And so I get a little disgusted with that. But if you're trying to learn and you're seeking the truth, then I'll encourage you in every way possible.
Well, I'd like to thank you for being on the broadcast tonight. We're at the end of the program, and I'm sure that the people have heard a lot of truths that they need to, and I appreciate you bringing them to us.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And I'll say, may God bless you and our audience, and good night until next time.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com, type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.